Welcome to The Creative Shift. My name is Dan Blank, author of the book Be the Gateway and founder of WeGrowMedia.com. So today I want to talk about this concept that generosity should be your platform. So if you're listening to this, chances are you are a writer or an artist or a creator of some sort. And the idea of a platform is how we are public with our work, how we communicate with others. This is what I care about. This is what I create. These are the kinds of conversations I want to have. These are the kinds of communities I'm a part of. And, you know, the practical aspects of a platform could be social media presence or website or newsletter or videos or podcasts or so many other things, including, of course, what you create, your writing, your books, your art, what have you. So the other day I saw a video. I watched a lot of people on YouTube, and one of them is someone named Rick Beato. He posts videos about music. He analyzes music and he teaches music. He himself has this inspiring story where he started doing videos after a whole career as a musician and a producer. In his mid-50s, he started sharing videos on YouTube. And now he has almost 3 million subscribers. He's a really big name in the kind of, at least the online music world, I believe the offline music world as well, to the point where he's landing major interviews, like long in-person interviews with people like Sting, Peter Frampton, Brian May, many other people who are really legendary in the music world. So the video I saw the other day had this title: Unknown Musical Genius Has Only 24 Spotify Followers. Help. And in the video, he talked about this musician that he had worked with in the past and who he thinks is kind of a genius musically, who has very little following online. So on Spotify, which is, of course, a major place where someone might be share their music, is 24 followers. Or no, it's 24 monthly listeners, I think. Now, this guy did not have a lot of music on Spotify. But even in the YouTube channel, he had, you know, followers, but not a huge amount. And certainly not what Rick thought what this guy deserved. And I thought that was really great to see. Rick is someone who knows enough people, is a big enough name where it's a powerful thing for him to shine a light on someone who is not getting attention and do a whole video that says, look at this guy, look at how amazing he is, look at his talent, you should support his work. This is why it's great. And I think that a thing that most of us miss is that we have this same power. Often we don't think that we do, because we say, you know, I don't have a big following. I have, I don't share that often. I have 9 subscribers. I have 60 followers. We talk about these small numbers. And I've talked to plenty of people, and this includes me, where they'll have something of a following. Yeah, I've got 400 people on my list. Or yeah, I have 900 followers, or, 1,500 followers, but I'm a nobody compared to these other people. No one looks to me as an influencer. What would it mean to people if I said, you should look at this author that only has 4 reviews, but I think their work is great? But we do have this power. And I think it's an incredible thing, a real mindset shift when you realize that. Oftentimes when we think about being generous, we look at these tools or these processes we can take online that are sort of set up for us. They don't take a lot of social risk. I think this is a big factor here of social risk. It's a big part of boundaries that we face as we grow our platform and share our work. So we are quote unquote generous, and I mean actually generous, not just in quotes, if we mildly support someone, if we click like on their video, if we comment on it, if we do like a follow Friday on Twitter and we tag someone, if at the bottom of a newsletter, you know, so after we've written 900 words and put 12 other links, we say, oh, and here's a writer whose book I'm enjoying right now. We put a link. All of these things are generous. The problem with them is that oftentimes they don't really compel attention from other people, and they don't really enamor us. They're mildly generous, and that's a wonderful thing. No judgment, no negative judgment here on that. But the thing that I think about instead is, what would be ridiculously generous? What could you do to support someone that would just make their day? That would be like, oh my gosh, they would have to tell their loved ones or their friends, or they'd have to write about it in their diary, where they'd feel like, I can't believe this. You treated me like I see my heroes being treated. You treated my book or my work like it was amazing. I always remember there was, there used to be before YouTube was the thing it is, a group in New York called Improv Everywhere. And they were basically this, I think it was an improv group, but what they would do in New York City was organize these kind of mass events. I'm forgetting the name of the person who was in charge of that. I have no idea. I assume it still exists. I have no idea. It's many years ago. But they would do these mass events. They'd organize these people to show up at the park and coordinate, and all at once, out of nowhere, they would break into the Thriller dance, or they would, you know, go to the subway one by one, organized, all wearing like boxer shorts on the coldest day of the year. So then they'd have all these covert videos of showing other riders have no idea what's going on. Like, guy walks in boxer shorts. Two more people walks in boxer shorts, and the regular people being like, what's going on? Or if you're in the park just picnicking, suddenly there's 100 people dancing to Thriller, absolutely perfectly coordinated. Anyhow, one of the things they did was they picked a band, just a small local band that didn't really have a following, who had like the first show on like, you know, the whole night on a Tuesday night. It's a band that wouldn't, you know, they would attract a couple of friends, but what it doesn't really have a following. So they picked that band and they said, you know what we're going to do? We are going to make this band's night the best night of their life. We are all going to, one, show up to the gig, but more than that, we are going to memorize the lyrics to their songs. We are going to make t-shirts with their band name on it. There's a band that was not big enough to have t-shirts made. We're going to know the names of the songs, names of the members. We're going to chant. We're going to have banners. And it's an interesting story. I haven't watched this video in, I don't know, I'm going to say a decade. This is so long ago. But it was really interesting to see a band be surprised that people were there for them. People knew the songs, and you see the celebration. Imagine being a band and not really having much of a following, and you see, you know, 10 people locked in arms just singing your song and chanting and smiling, and they have banners, and they're just so excited to be there. And you see the band just sort of be shocked, but also get into it, because it's sort of a dream come true. I think there was a flip side to that story. And I don't remember exactly whether it was one member of the band or something, where it was an interview, and they felt also it was a little weird after the fact, where they're like, oh, we kind of thought they were like real hardcore fans, but it turns out it was part of this setup. Where even though I think it was joyful and it did expose a lot more people to their music, it was different than if you feel like, oh, these were truly out of nowhere 50 people that we never heard of and have never had before, these diehard fans. So I'm not saying there's not a potential downside to that. But it was that idea of like, what if you really celebrate someone whose work you really love? A few months ago, I did a podcast episode about Zibby Owens. She's someone who in the last few years has done so much to become, how does she put it on her site? Let me see how she describes herself. Zibby Owens. Author, podcaster, publisher, entrepreneur, bookfluencer, and mother of four. What Zibby has created in the last few years is breathtaking. I originally know her as a podcaster. And when she started off, she didn't start off like most podcasters do, how I started off, which is like, oh, I'll do an interview with people and I'll do it once a month, and I'll kind of get my sea legs, and I'll interview people I think are interesting. I've got a lot to figure out with that. No, she launched her podcast, I think, posting an episode every 4 to 5 days, a new interview. And if you scroll back, you know, pretty quickly she went to every 3 days. And then pretty quickly after that, one interview with an author on her podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books, it's the title of it, a new interview every single day. And that has continued for a long time now. And it's incredible. It's just incredible. That you see, this is what generosity looks like. It's not just, how can I support 12 authors a year by interviewing them? But how can I support 300 authors this year through interviewing them? And then, of course, she's gone on to do so much more with the, she's got a whole public, you know, she's now a publisher, all this sort of stuff. It's just, every time I look at her site, it's like she's launching some huge new venture, something else that she is doing to support writers and readers. But it was that idea of really going further, not just saying, oh yeah, I'm generous. You know, and again, I'm talking about myself here. I interview an author, you know, once a month or, you know, once every couple months. You know, I believe generosity is important. What that is, it can be viewed as generous, but it's not the kind of breathtaking generosity, that idea of really making someone's day. So part of this reason to be generous is because, you know, we come into this thinking, well, I want a platform because I want people to know about my writing or know about my art. So why am I going to spend all this effort focusing people on other people's writing and other people's art? A lot of this is to understand what gets people's attention. And it's way easier to do that when you're being generous than if you're constantly self-promoting in different ways. Also, so much of platform is not just about communication, communicating, hey, this is what I create. It's about building trust with people. It's about building a network. And when you're generous with people, for one, it feels really good. It feels good to them, and it feels good to you. But two, it's a wonderful way to learn about what gets attention, how to communicate, and of building trust with people. So there's a way to look at it, which is if you want others to notice you, first notice them. Because you're going to learn a lot here. One, you're going to really learn, what is the process like? You know, a lot of people say, like, I don't understand. Like, why aren't my friends and family, like, reviewing my books on Amazon? I gave them the link. I told them it's important to me. Because that's a pretty common thing. You send out one email saying, oh my gosh, everyone, my book's out. Please post a review on Amazon. But you've never left a review on Amazon yourself. Or you have, but it was only for the biggest best-selling book of the year. So if you then focus on generosity yourself and say, I'm going to review a book a week or a book a day on Amazon, first of all, you're going to learn, okay, oh, it isn't a one-step process to do that on Amazon. It's actually like 12 button clicks to do that. And then you've got to think about this thing which most people dread, which is, oh, now I've got to write a book report, which very few people like doing in school. So I've got to write a book report, but it's a paragraph. And then you've got to think, okay, what do I title that book report? Because it asks for a title. Then you probably might be conflicted about your own rating system. And I've looked at this a lot, where ideally, if you're supporting a book, you're giving it 5 stars. But some people, and I'm not criticizing this, but some people have that idea of like, if I give every book 5 stars, I mean, am I not just being like too overly promotional? Or how does that reflect on me and my taste? Is every book a 5-star review? No. I think some books are really good, which they're 4-star reviews. So you have to go through this thing of, do I give them 5-star reviews? I think if you're bothering to review a book and you like it, give it a 5-star review. It helps the author out. But that's just my take. You have to figure it out for yourself. And then it's got to be out there. And it's going to be out there with your name or your Amazon name. There's all these steps. And here you are maybe asking other people to do that, but you might not have done it in a long time. You might not know what you're asking of them. You might not know, here are the barriers. Maybe they've never reviewed anything on Amazon. So they're on Amazon. They bought your book. They kind of want to review it. They don't know what to say, but they'll figure it out. But they've never been public on Amazon of like, what should my screen name be? Do I just use my actual name? Do I want my name out there? You know, all these things that people worry about. So you have to think about that. And I think the more you do it for other people first, the more you know what to expect of others, or the more you can help support others do that for you. And I think that with the idea of being generous and making that your platform is empathy. Empathy at every level. Because it's not just, I'm going to be generous because I want something in return. I mean, that happens all the time, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't have to be that transactional either. I think in this age of influencers and platform, we tend to think about that more often than we did 5 or 10 years ago. But can you promote the book of someone and whose book was published a year ago? So someone who is a mid-list author, you know, they've got 20 or 60 or 100 reviews on Amazon, but it's been a year now. Could you spend a week promoting that book, finding fun and inventive ways to do that? Could you bake a cake and have the book cover printed on it? Like if you go down to like Stop and Shop or whatever the food store is called, wherever you live, they can do that. You give them an image and they can print it on the cake. It's just amazing that this can happen today. And then post that on Facebook and tag the author, or on Instagram and tag the author. Love this book so much, I'm going to eat it. Just say something fun and ridiculous and celebratory. Because I guarantee you, the author did not wake up today thinking that they would, that a stranger would share a cake of their book. And you can take that ridiculous idea even further and make it just bonkers ridiculous. Make individual cupcakes representing every character from the book. You know, you could just really have fun with that. And that's just even online stuff. I always remember Emma Straub, the author and bookstore owner, would show up to author readings for other authors, and she would bring baked goods. She'd bring cupcakes. That's just such a nice thing to do. And it gets attention, and everybody loves, or she'd bring brownies, is my memory. Everyone loves brownies. Everyone loves cupcakes. Even if you're not going to eat them, the idea of them is a nice celebratory thing. Could you send an author a letter saying you love their book? Could you write that letter instead of type it? Could you use a fountain pen? Could you seal that letter with a wax seal? Could you just do something fun for them? Could you make stickers of their characters and send them a sticker sheet? You can go on like, what is it, like psprint.com. There's all these inexpensive printers that will do custom things like that for 20 or 40 or 60 bucks. If you say, oh my gosh, I love this book changed my life, or I want to be generous, you start thinking about, yeah, would I spend 40 bucks to make that author's day? Would I spend 60 bucks to make that author's day? The answer to you might be no. You might have a very, very limited budget. You might not want to do that. You might feel the social risk of that. I think sometimes that's the kind of social risk that you want to lean into. Could you organize 20 people to show up for an author event? So you're going to go and you're going to bring 3 friends and you're all going to come with a copy of the book already, or you're going to buy a book right away once you get to that bookstore. If it's at a bookstore, of course, you buy the book at the bookstore. These are the kinds of things that you can really think about. What would be a fun thing to do? And these ideas are extreme. And I think that that's part of the fun of it. It's this idea of what would be something that is going to get attention. And I think that social risk is not something to steer away from. I always remember this years ago, maybe 2005, I don't even know, many years ago, actually earlier. With my wife, we went into the city to go to the Halloween parade. Or we were working in the city, we're going to the Halloween parade in Manhattan. And, you know, thought about, oh, you know, should I bring costume? No, I'm not taking a train and packing a costume and then at my office changing into my costume, if it's late, and then walking in the street in New York in a costume and then getting on the train in costume. Like, it's felt embarrassing. And then you go to the parade, and what I experienced was just unbelievable joy. Because you look around and you see a group of 5 people all dressed as the Warriors costume from the 1979 film. You see 10 people dressed up as mimes. You see someone dressed up as a disco roller skater. And they're having fun. And in the crowd, there is this not this sense of I'm in New York and I got to make sure no one's pickpocketing me, although you always have to do that, especially parades. But just this sense of like, we're a part of something. There's a sense of community and joy here. And that, and I'm there and I'm like, wow, I am deeply regretful I'm not in a costume. Next year we went in costume. And it's this opportunity. There's a social risk in that, but the reward can be so wonderful. And again, because you're focused on generosity, it's not you're taking a risk to self-promote. You're taking a risk to help someone else. And I think that's one of the better kinds of risks to take. As always, you can email me at dan@wegrowmedia.com if you have any feedback. You can subscribe to my weekly newsletter at wegrowmedia.com/newsletter. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @danblank. Thank you so much for listening until the end.